So today we're launching this new worship series, which is called The Ultimate Exodus. And if you've been around the church for a while, you know that the Exodus is a story of God's people in slavery and God leading them out of slavery, leading them away from the Egyptians who had a hold on them. And we're going to talk over the next several weeks about how you and I, we have things that have a hold on us. We have things in our lives, voices in our lives that have a hold on us. And to get into this, I brought a portion of my old CD collection. Does anybody have a box or boxes somewhere in your house filled with these things? Yeah? Some of you are going, what's a CD, right? Right? So we've got these old CDs, and I was thinking about when CDs first came out in the 80s and the 90s, they were like the hot thing, and everybody was out buying these CDs, and there was a company that knew what they were doing because they placed ads in magazines from Vanity Fair to Boy's Life. They placed ads in magazines that looked something like this, and maybe some of you remember this. They wanted to sell you 12 CDs for just one penny. Anybody remember this? Anybody remember this? How many of you fell for it? Be honest, you're in church. I fell for it like four times, right? It was this great deal. You could write down all the CDs you wanted, your 12 favorites, Cyndi Lauper, Tchaikovsky, you know, Michael W. So whoever it was, you could write them down. They'd send you this package of 12 CDs for just one penny, and that was it, right? Wrong. Wrong. You had to read the fine print, which all of us ignored, that said not only were you buying these 12 CDs, but you were now a member of a CD club. Remember this? And they were going to send you month after month a CD that you didn't choose, and they were so nice they were going to bill you as well for that CD you didn't choose. And you had to buy something like 12 or 20 CDs at exorbitant prices. Do you remember this? I remember this. And then they tack on fees and all these kinds of things. And even when you fulfilled all the requirements of that CD club, it was nearly impossible to get out of the club. Kind of reminds me of cell phone plans. Cell phone plans. Has anyone ever tried to change cell phone carriers? Like, you may as well just start your own cell phone company, because it's easier to start your own company than to change carriers. Or maybe cable companies, internet companies. It's really hard to change. And here's why. They know by getting you in on their deal, their introductory rate, they've got a hold on you. They've got a hold on you. And here's what I believe. In our lives, there are things in our lives that likewise have a hold on us. For example, raise your hand if you've ever made a really big mistake. Right? I'm sure I'm the only one. We make big mistakes in life. I've done some really stupid things in my life. Things that have hurt not only myself, but my family. I've done things that have hurt my wife and my parents and my kids. Really dumb things. And when we make those kind of mistakes, they have this way of holding on to us. Have you noticed that? You don't forget the dumb things you do in life. They have this way of holding on to us. Or maybe some of you grew up in families where your family maybe used guilt as a way to get one another to do what you wanted them to do. Anyone grow up in a good Midwestern passive-aggressive family? No, none of us, no. Or maybe you grew up in a family where the model of a marriage wasn't always the best model. Or maybe you grew up in a family where it wasn't, you know, it was a good upbringing, but your family never was able to tell one another that you loved one another. It was never affectionate. And here's the deal. Those voices from our past, our upbringing, they have a way of holding on to us. Maybe at one point in your life you were rejected by someone you really, really loved. Maybe you were cut from a team, or maybe you lost a job, and those voices, they rattle around in the back of our heads. My parents, they love these little dogs that look like mop heads. They're called Shih Tzus. Be careful how you say that, by the way. They have these little dogs called Shih Tzus, and they once had one that when it grabbed onto something, maybe it's a toy or a sock or whatever, it never let go. Like, it could grab onto the end of a sock, and you could pull it all over the hardwood floor like this as it clenched down on it with its teeth. You could even pick it up by the toy like this, and it would be dangling down below. This dog would get its teeth into something, and it would hold on, and it wouldn't let go. And here's what I think. In our lives, there are some voices, there are experiences that we all have that similarly have their teeth into us. And here's the thing. Slowly but surely, those voices, they creep into the rest of our lives, I think often without us even knowing it. Those voices from our past have this way of affecting our relationships today. Maybe your marriage is affected by some voices from your past. Maybe the family you grew up in. Voices from the past have this way of affecting our relationships with coworkers, how we deal with conflict. Voices from the past have this way of affecting our self-confidence, our self-esteem. You see, we have these experiences and these voices from our past that have a hold on us, and we might even say that those voices at times turn us into slaves to those voices. Calvary has a partnership that, I don't know about you, I'm really proud of, in Bihar, India. And here's a picture of a couple of women that Julie Anderson and my wife met when they were in Bihar. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The average income in a household income for a whole entire year for a family in Bihar is under $700. I think there's another picture of one of their homes. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot imagine living in that way. And I have to admit that sometimes I ask the question, why don't they just leave? Like, why would they choose to live like that? Why don't they just up and leave and go to the city and get an education or get a better job? And what I've come to find is that they can't. Because in some ways, they're slaves. In the spring of the year, when it's planting season, the families need to purchase seed. But they have no significant income. And so what they do is they go to money lenders who lend them money to purchase seed to grow their crops. They plant those crops, and all the while, those money lenders are collecting interest. And at times, the interest is as much as 100%. And so they plant their crops, they raise their crops, and at the end of the year, they never have enough at harvest time to pay off those money lenders. And so they're always indebted. And so the husbands of these families have to go off to the city where they take on extra work, leaving the wife and children behind to work the fields. And at the end of the planting season, they always end up owing these money lenders. And so the next spring, well, they still owe these money lenders. And so this cycle continues again and again. Their indebtedness to these money lenders, well, it makes them slaves. Those money lenders have a hold on them. You see, I think it's not all that different in our lives. Voices and experiences from our past, in some ways, they have a hold on us. And I think we all become slaves to those voices without even knowing it. So as we launch this worship series, I want to ask this question. Who or what is holding on to you? What voices from the past, what experiences have you had that have a hold on you? Because here's what I believe. All of us have someone or something that has a hold on us and won't let go. We all do. We're going to take a look at the story of the Exodus over the course of this worship series. And today we're going to dive, I'm going to admit this, we're going to dive really deep into that story. Because I believe those Israelites, way back when, they experienced something very similar to what you and I experience. The Egyptians had a hold on them in a way that maybe they didn't even recognize. So real quick here, I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version of the story of the Exodus. Now, even if you didn't grow up in church, you know of a guy named Joseph, right? Nod your head if you remember Joseph. Joseph, colorful coat. Think Donny Osmond on Broadway. Okay? Joseph had brothers who hated him because he was their dad's favorite. And so they sold him into slavery. They sold him to some Egyptians. And through remarkable series of events, Joseph in Egypt rises to be the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh. Well, fast forward a few years later, there's a famine back in the land where his brothers live. They're shepherds, the land's dried up, and so they hear that there's food in Egypt, that food is abundant in Egypt. So they make their way to Egypt, and by chance, they find themselves face to face with their brother, Joseph. And rather than Joseph clobbering his brothers, Joseph opens his arms and gives them more food than they could ever imagine. But if you grew up in Sundays, going to Sunday school, this is where the story you know goes south. Because Pharaoh makes those Joseph's family and ancestors slaves. It's those Israelites that build the pyramids and the great buildings of the Egyptian empire. But God doesn't forget about them. God raises up another leader. His name is Moses. Think Charlton Heston. Right? Let my people go. And Moses leads them out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. That is the Exodus story, the Cliff Notes version. But there's a part of that story that I want to focus in today because I think it's really important. It's the part about the slavery. Because I noticed a detail in this story that makes me wonder, what kind of slaves were they? What kind of slaves were they? In Genesis chapter 45... Joseph's brothers are on their way to Egypt. Joseph opens his arms and welcomes them. And we find out that not only does Joseph do that, but the Pharaoh does that as well. It says, when news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. They were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Cana and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the
best of the land in Egypt.
Best of the land in Egypt, and you can enjoy the
fat
of the land. And then it says, now the Israelites, they settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. Goshen was known as being some of the most beautiful shepherding land in all of Egypt. They acquired property there, and they were fruitful, and they increased greatly in number. Now, I don't know about you, but when I learned about slavery in history class in high school, it didn't look like that. I mean, think about it. They got the best land in all of Egypt. They lived off the fat of the land. It says they increased in number. That means they had a lot of babies. Life was good. They had livestock. They built homes. Generation after generation lived on the fat of the land. Life was really good. And so we might ask ourselves, what kind of slaves were they? Well, here's what I imagine maybe happened. You see, when they traveled to Egypt that first time, there was a Pharaoh in command who was known as a shepherding king. And in that day and age, shepherding was seen as the cream of the crop in terms of careers. Shepherding was an esteemed career. And so that Pharaoh knew that shepherding was a part of Joseph's family's culture, their identity, their heritage. And to honor them, he gave them the best land in all of Egypt where they could raise their livestock. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but as time goes on, things change. Anybody ever notice that in your lives? Things change. I mean, think about it. When I was a little boy, computers filled entire rooms. And now you can have the same computing power in your cell phone. Times change. We used to sit down and watch the news on television. Now we watch it on our phones. You see, times change. And the same thing happened in Egypt. Culture changed and the economy changed. No longer was shepherding seen as the cream of the crop career. You see, building became where it's at. You see, it was in Egypt that they became known as this building superpower. They built the pyramids. They built these giant palaces. And if you wanted to be somebody, you got into bricklaying. That was where the money was at. And in fact, shepherding became sort of a low-life job in Egypt. Shepherds became known as vulgar, illiterate types. That career was seen on the same sort of level as garbage collecting and street cleaning. And I imagine as those Israelite children went to school with their Egyptian friends, they tried to hide from their friends that their parents were shepherds, because their friends would mock them. They no longer invited their Egyptian friends over to their house because their Egyptian friends would see that their parents were just shepherds. And so those Israelite children, they began to dream new dreams. And as they went to school, they began to imagine a new life for themselves. A life of power. A life of more wealth. A life of more prestige and position. And so slowly but surely, as time went on, I imagine that those Israelite children, they traded in their heritage, that shepherding heritage. They traded in their identity. They traded in who they were as a people for some bricks. And slowly but surely, as they moved from shepherding to bricklaying, they became slaves. They became slaves to their affluence. They became slaves to their desire for power. And they became slaves to the Pharaoh's ambitions and the Pharaoh's power. And I don't think they even knew what was happening. Egypt got a hold on them. You see, I think it's the same for us. There are things from our past that have a hold on us, and sometimes we don't even know it's happening. I ask the question again here. Who or what is holding on to you? Is it a voice from your past? Is it a rejection? Is it a hurt, a pain, a loss? Is it grief? Is it shame? What voice from your past has a hold on you? Because I believe that the question we're going to wrestle with over the next several weeks is this question right here. What's God's freedom freeing you from? You see, we have a God who's all about freedom. And as we read this Exodus story over the next several weeks, we're going to find that God uses Moses to lead God's people out of slavery into freedom, and they get freedom like they've never had before. In fact, they don't even know what to do with all the freedom. And as we march closer and closer to Easter is all about freedom. And we find out that for God, nothing can hold God back from loving you and loving me, not even death. So this is the question for this series. What's God's freedom freeing you from? Next week, we're going to take a look at Moses. And Moses, like you and me, he had a special calling. You have a special calling as a spouse, and maybe as a parent, maybe in your career, you've got a special calling. God gave Moses a special calling, and that was to lead God's people out of slavery into freedom. And Moses, like us, he had a past that had a hold on him. And God needed to work with him, so that he could unlearn some of those old voices. He could unlearn some of those old ways of living. He could unlearn some of those old fears, so that he could be all God created him to be and lead God's people to freedom. I don't know about you, but I could use that as well sometimes. So here's the question as we dive into this series. What's God's freedom freeing you from? Let's pray. Gracious God, we start a new series today, and we hear these words about freedom. And God, you know maybe better than any of us that there are experiences that we all have from our past. There are voices that we can't shake sometimes. And those voices, those experiences, they have this way of affecting our present. They have a way of affecting our relationships. They have a way of affecting our marriages, the way we parent. They have a way of affecting how we view ourselves, our self-esteem. God, free us. Free us from those experiences in our past, from those voices, that we might be the people you want us to be. God, we give thanks for this. Be with us on this journey. We pray this all in your name. And all God's people said,
Amen.